So, I mean, we are nearly, it's past half of the pansa. No? I mean, how is your practice going on? How is your samadhi? How is your investigation? Huh? So use the rest of the pansa, to exert a little bit your effort, in your practice, in the practice of samadhi and in the practice of investigation, in developing wisdom. Don't follow your thoughts, no matter how interesting they are. Say there's a thought and then go back to the Buddha or go back to the breath. There's a thought, Or just say, I'm not interested. I mean, we are so attached, it is like, we are so attached to our thoughts, and to our memories. Oh, this memory, where does it come from? Huh? I mean, where's the rain coming from? Yeah, where are the clouds coming from? Where's the sun coming from? Yeah, and so on. Yeah, I mean, it comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. It's the same thing with our thoughts, and it's the same thing with our memories. They come and go. Huh? And at the moment, when we try to focus on the Buddha or on the breath, I mean, the kilesas bring up these thoughts to distract us. And if we don't understand that, we don't fight them. Yeah? It's the kilesas who bring up these thoughts. It's the kilesas who bring up these memories to distract us. Yeah? And the moment we get interested in whatever they bring up, then they already have us, have us on the leash. Yeah? Just like, the owner of a cow or of an ox, he just pulls them, and the ox goes along, And that's how the kilesas pull us out, And then, after 10 minutes we realize we have been out, So, the moment you realize, before you can't do anything, the moment you realize you're out in thoughts, just bring it back, And that's where we need to put our effort in, We don't need to push it, but we need to bring it back, and that's where we need the effort, let me just exist. this memory, The past is past, the future has not arisen, but we use the past, and our thoughts, to predict the future. That has not arisen. In the future that we are used to predict, all the time in our life, has it always come true? No. 99.9% not. Sometimes we played the lottery and we won. But most of the time, no. So it is useless to go in the future. Just be in the present moment. What is happening right now? And the best thing, how to be in the present moment is to feel the body. I mean, to be centered in the body. What are the feelings in the body? What are the feelings on the head? What are the feelings on the feet? What are the feelings, in my legs, in my arms? That's how we center back in the, that is what is real. And everything else, is brought up by the kilesas or brought up by memories and by thoughts, and they just distract us from what really is there. It's the same thing, the moment we get afraid, we just center back in the body, and where is it, Before, I was talking to the Thais about, once we get a little bit in samadhi, once we investigate dukkha vedana, so painful feelings that arise, when we sit for a long time, 2 hours or 3 hours, then really painful feelings come. And this is the sharpening stone for our wisdom. We use this first. So we have to really train this dukkha vedana, to sharpen the wisdom. What is the feeling like? First we feel it, and we feel the aversion to it, and then we let go of the aversion and breathe in the dukkha vedana, breathe in, the painful feeling, and then, we look at the painful feeling. What is it like? How is it? How does it feel? How does it feel in the arms? How does it feel in the legs? Where is it? Where is it located? And then we go to the spot where it is located, and then we feel it there. But we have to accept it, and that is the and that is the most difficult thing to accept. Yeah, we don't like painful feelings. Yeah, just like we don't like a lot of things in our life. Yeah, we don't like if somebody talks like this. We don't like if we hear something disturbing sound. We don't like this. We don't like that. We first have to accept these things, that they are there. We cannot get rid of them. You understand that? The moment we have aversion to it, you know, it makes it just stronger, yeah? And it makes it more difficult, you know, to to investigate it, yeah? So once we breathe in, you know, just like, how do we breathe in, you know, how do we breathe in painful feelings? It is like there is a really bad smell, you know, and that happens normally if a small animal dies, you know, and there's a really stinking smell. I mean, we don't want to smell it, yeah? How do we do it? We breathe it in, yeah? And then we see there's nothing wrong with it, yeah? I mean, it's not good smelling, you know? Of course it is not good smelling, yeah? And that is the same thing with the painful feeling. We accept it, you know? So we breathe in the painful feeling, you know, and we accept it. And the moment we can accept it, then we can also investigate it, yeah? Where is it, at which location, you know, and how is it? Is it changing, you know, anicca, anatta, dukkha. We use these three principles, yeah? Anicca, that means it's impermanent. So it constantly changes, yeah? I mean, the pain is never, you know, the strength of the pain is not constant, yeah? In this we can investigate. And then we can investigate anatta. I mean, whatever we see, whatever we feel is not me, yeah? Or we can see, you know, dukkha, you know, the first noble truth. Ah, this is the first noble truth. That's what the Lord Buddha talks, yeah? In the first noble truth, you know, dukkha vedana is part of the first noble truth. We have dukkha in our life, yeah? Why do we have dukkha in our life? Because we don't like the painful feeling. And we want to have nice feeling. Huh? That's where the dukkha comes in, with the wanting, yeah? With the desire, right? Or tanha. That's where the dukkha, that's why we have dukkha. If there is no desire, if there is no aversion, you know, I mean, there is no dukkha, yeah? There are painful feelings, but there is no dukkha, yeah? The dukkha comes from the heart, that we don't want it, yeah? That we don't want to accept a painful feeling, yeah? And if you leave out, you know, the aversion that arises instantly with the painful feeling, I mean, then the painful feeling is bearable, yeah? This is okay, yeah? I mean, even the Lord Buddha has painful feelings, you know? Lumta Mahaboya, you know, showed us that he has painful feelings. I think he was bitten by a scorpion, you know, or a centipede, yeah? And then, ah! Yeah? And then, oh, what? Yeah? And then he said, you know, he looked at our faces, because everybody was running to his kuti, you know, to see what is going on, yeah? And then he looked at our faces and said, yeah, of course I have painful feelings, you know, it hurts, yeah? Why should it not hurt? But, you know, the dislike is that what makes it really unbearable, yeah? Otherwise it is bearable. And then, you know, when, like I said before, when we can investigate painful feelings, we can investigate any kind of feeling. Yeah? Be it the feeling of fear, be it the feeling of worries, be it the feeling of, you know, of all these things, be it the feeling of longing, be it the feeling of aversion. Yeah? We can investigate them, yeah? And we see them. Yeah? So we go to the heart, we go to the feeling, you know, we look at it, yeah, and we look what is happening to our body. Yeah? What is happening to our body, for instance, when there is fear? Yeah? I mean, our heart closes down, you know, it becomes so rigid. Yeah? So we can open it up. Yeah? We can slowly open it up. Yeah? And then the fear, with this, the fear automatically goes away. Yeah? And that is how we investigate, you know, these feelings, you know. Well, what is the physical heart doing, you know? Because if we can't catch, you know, what the chitta is doing, yeah, and we go to the physical heart and see, yeah? I mean, is it free? Because if it is free, it is worry-free, yeah? There's no worries, there's nothing, yeah? If it is completely open, an open heart, yeah, welcomes everything, yeah. But if the heart is closed, yeah, that means something is wrong. So if you don't know what is going on in the citta, we first look at the physical heart, yeah, and see what is going on there, yeah. That's why I said, you know, I mean, it is important sometimes, you know, to center in the body, you know, and to see what is going on, yeah. It is also, you know, when I feel, you know, my muscles are strained, you know, or when I tighten up or freeze up, yeah, what is going on? Then I go to the heart. What is the heart doing? Yeah, and when I'm good, you know, then I can see what is going on in the citta. But first we can go to the physical heart and see, and then relax it there. Yeah, and then automatically, you know, also this relaxes. Also our muscles relax. Yeah? We have to understand this body. Now we have to understand how this body is working, yeah? And then we have to understand how the connection between the citta and the heart, yeah? Because when the citta forms a thought, yeah, then the heart starts to react, yeah? And then the brain starts to react. I mean, we can follow it up, yeah? I mean, it is like a computer, it is like, you know, like a sophisticated car, yeah? I mean, when you turn on, you know, when you turn on the ignition, you know, I mean, then the engine starts, yeah? If you don't turn on the ignition, the engine doesn't start. Once the engine starts, you know, all other things, you know, can start as well, yeah? And that is the same thing with our body, yeah? Being in our thoughts, in our memories, you know, doesn't help us to understand, you know, what is going on in the body, how the citta and how the body, you know, interact with each other, yeah? Because you can have the intention to think, but you don't think, so nothing is happening in the body. But the moment, you know, the first part of the thought is coming up, then something is happening in the heart, yeah, and in the brain, yeah? And you can feel it, yeah? And that's why we have to become really, really aware of what the hell is going on in this, also in this body, you know. So to center ourselves always in the body, when we get distracted, center yourself in the body and then go back to your breath, yeah. I mean, it is so interesting, it's so fascinating how this body works. I mean, why do we still go into these thoughts and memories, yeah? I mean, what do they bring us? We never investigate. What does this memory bring me? Yeah, I mean, sometimes really ask a question. Yeah, when you have a memory that you think it is, what does it give me? Nothing. Yeah, it's just you know, one of these soap bubbles. Yeah, oh, it looks nice. Yeah, it looks nice. You know, and boop, gone. Yeah, and then we learn, it looks nice. Boop, gone. Yeah, I mean, what do we have? Nothing. But to understand, you know, what is going on? How is the citta? You know, the citta is the driver. If you remember what I said, the citta is the driver, yeah, of this body. Just like there is a driver of the car, yeah. The car doesn't drive without the citta, yeah. The car doesn't drive without the driver, yeah. It doesn't go left, it doesn't go right, it doesn't go forward, it doesn't turn on the ignition, you know, nothing. The air conditioner doesn't work, you know, if there's no driver in there. It doesn't turn out automatically. Yeah? And that's the same thing with the body. I mean, get interested, you know, I mean, how is this working, you know? I mean, we want so much, yeah? But this wanting, you know, is prohibiting is prohibiting us to see the truth, to see what is going on. I mean, it's so fascinating. I mean, you can spend hours, days, weeks, and months, you know, just to look at this. Yeah? And then the more you look at this, you know, I mean, the less you're interested in what is going on around, and the less you're disturbed by the things that are going on around. No matter if these people are chatting or that people are chatting, you know, because you're interested in what is going on. And you see your reaction towards it, yeah? Huh? And you can feel it, you know, and where is it coming from? Huh? We can, certain things we cannot stop, yeah? We cannot stop the rain from falling. When it falls, then it falls, you know? When it's dry, then it's hot, you know? I mean, we cannot stop it, you know, from getting cooler, yeah? It will come, the time will come when it gets cooler, you know, the time will come, you know, when the rain stops. oh, the tide will come when the rain starts, you know, and then it gets cooler. Yeah. It used to be, you know, for the last few days it was very cool, yeah, very nice. And now it's getting, you know, the rain stops, you know, it's getting hot again. Yeah. And so this is the change of the world. This is anicca. Everything is anicca. Yeah. And our body is also anicca. But we have to understand, we have to look and we have to get interested. Yeah? And this, you know, this interest, you know, leads us to samadhi, leads us to deep samadhi, you know, leads us to understanding what is going on in the realms of the body. And leads us to understanding how the citta and the body, you know, work together. Yeah? Because if there's nothing happening in the citta, there's nothing happening in the body. It cannot be. If the body shakes, you know, I mean, there's something happening in the citta. Yeah? Because the body doesn't shake by itself, yeah? So there's something going on in the citta. But because, you know, the going on in the citta is so subtle that we never catch it. But we catch the outside things, you know, when we are afraid, when we are tense, when we are, you know, when our heart is closed. These things, you know, I mean, we can catch it. You know, our awareness, you know, shows us this. But what is going on in the citta, you know, mostly, you know, in the beginning it is hidden, yeah? So look at it, yeah? So center yourself, you know, whenever you get lost, center yourself in the body and look, you know. I mean, look at the feelings. They're constant feelings. When you concentrate, you know, I mean, there's a rush of energy, you know, and you can feel it, yeah? I mean, you can feel it, so you can feel it, you know, until there are no body parts. There's just energy. Yeah? It's just an energetic body. Yeah, there are no body parts anymore. You know, everything disappears. You know, and becomes, you know, it becomes actually the elements. You know, the elements, the four elements: yeah? Water element, the fire element, the earth element, and the air element. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Everything in this world, everything in this universe, you know, consists of these four elements. Right? And because, you know, of the mixing of the elements, you know, some has a lot of earth element, you know, so it seems to be very solid. Others has a lot of air element, you know, like our thoughts, you know, it seems to be of fleeting nature and other things, yeah. And there's nothing, you know, I mean, when you look at it, yeah, when you investigate it, or when you investigate the body, you know, and investigate a part of the body, I mean, you can divide it up into these four elements, you know, if your awareness is good enough, yeah. If it's not good enough, you know, then just stick with the solidity of this object, yeah, and then probe into it, you know, and dissect it, yeah. Or ask where it's coming from, yeah, I mean, where's the hair growing out, yeah. I mean, there's a skin and there's no hair, and there's the skin and there's hair, you know? I mean, so, yeah? How does it work, yeah? And then look deeper, you know, go a little bit deeper, you know, go through the skull, you know, and go into the brain, you know, and look at, you know, how is the brain working, yeah? What part, you know, I mean, what part of the brain, you know, when a thought comes, when you think, you know, what part of the brain is active? I mean, you don't need any medical studies, you know, to understand that. You just can look at it, you know, experience it for yourself. Yeah? That's why the Lord Buddha said, you know, open your eyes and then see for yourself. Or experience it yourself. It's always there. Yeah? But we try, you know, I mean, all our life, you know, I mean, we studied this, we studied that, you know, we know this, we know that, yeah. And, but this knowledge, you know, we do know, you know, this knowledge, you know, gets obsolete sometimes, you know, it's replaced with new knowledge and then new knowledge and new knowledge. Huh? But this knowledge that we derive from our body, this is there. It's always there. Yeah? Just need to look. Yeah? Just need to open our eyes and get interested. Yeah? And the more we're interested, you know, the easier it is for us to get into samadhi and to... And it is easier for us, you know, to understand, yeah? the working between the citta and the body. I mean, it's fascinating, yeah? And for a doctor, the citta does not exist. I mean, that's where all the medicine goes wrong, yeah? Because the citta is the prime mover, yeah? I mean, in Christianity, the soul exists, but, you know, I mean, they never could find where is the soul, yeah? They thought it is, you know, one of the body parts here, there, where the soul is sitting, yeah? No, the soul is immaterial, yeah? The chitta is immaterial, yeah? I mean, you can't find it, yeah? You can open the corpse, you know, you can investigate, you know, I mean, you can use infrared or, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever, MRI, you know, and you can never find a chitta, yeah? Because it's not there. you cannot, it's just not material. Yeah? Understood? Get interested in that. That, you know, that helps you, yeah? I mean, now you have still 5 weeks, I think still 5 weeks before the end of the pansa. Use the time wisely. Yeah? And that's all what I want to say. So now you can ask questions if you have some. Yeah?
To go to this body thing, just start with the breath and then I can stop if I have some interest or not to mix it.
What? What is the question?
When I practice samadhi for the breath,
yeah.
And then I found it interesting to go to the body.
No.
That's the question. Okay.
No. You should not. Because then that's the same thing that I told the Thais. You should not mix. Samadhi is samadhi and wisdom is wisdom. So when you do investigation, you know, sometimes when you do investigation of the body, you know, the mind becomes really calm. And then it slips into samadhi. We should avoid that.
And I'm talking about you, so about
and, you, and that is the same thing, you know, when we are doing samadhi, we should not slip into investigation. So when you do it, when you do the breath, you stick with the tip of the nose or around the nose where you feel the breath, yeah? And you stick with it, yeah? And you always return to this point, yeah? The only exception for samadhi is when the pain becomes too strong. Then we can go to the pain.
But when you said about this energy of flow.
No, when you get lost, you know, in your thoughts or in memories, you know, recenter in the body and then go back to the point. Yeah. You don't have to do it, you know, but no. Sometimes it is helpful.
I'm saying sometimes it's interesting to see this kind of energy or to feel this body.
Yeah, but it's not the same, it's not samadhi. Yes, when you do investigation, you can do it. Yeah? But then sit down, you know, and do investigation of the whole body and then look at the whole body, you know, and get, you know, make a tour through the body, you know, and stick with the whole body of the feeling of the body. That is investigation, yeah? But when you do samadhi, you don't do it, yeah? And the only exception is when there is so much pain that you cannot concentrate on the breath or on the Buddha anymore. Then you can start the investigation. Otherwise, you know, I mean, we get mixed up, yeah? Now we go, you know, it's just the jumping mind, yeah? Then we go, this is interesting. Then we go here. That is interesting. Then we go here. I mean, we neither get any results, you know, from our investigation because we constantly jump. We don't see what is going on. Nor do we get any samadhi. Yeah? So, I mean, please be advised, don't mix this up. Samadhi is samadhi, or samatha is samatha, and panya is panya, wisdom is wisdom. Yeah? Samadhi is calm meditation, and wisdom is wisdom. Yeah? And we don't mix it up. Yeah? A lot of people do it, you know, because the mind slips automatically. When you do investigation, it slips automatically in a calm, and then we stay, you know, in a calm, and then, okay, and then we go, yeah. We don't get any results from that. Yeah? We have to look, you know, for instance, for pain, and that's why I said it is so important, you know, to do the pain investigation. We stick with the pain, you know, it is much easier to stick with the pain, and then we look, what is happening there? Yeah? What really is happening there? Yeah? So we stick with it. Yeah? It is easy because we don't like it, you know, and it is constantly there. It doesn't go away, just like the feelings of the body, they go away, you know, and they change into this and that. But the pain, you know, stays on. That's where we learn. That's where we sharpen our knife of wisdom. Yeah? Okay? Understood. Other questions? Now then read the question. From the internet.
When we investigate bodies, Do we think about the body and its drawbacks, or do we just mentally remove the parts of the body and just reflect on the dissected parts? Because when I think about the problems related to the body, the mind creates some questions and thoughts of its own in reply.
No. I tried to explain it just before, you know, how we investigate the body. Yeah. What we do when we start investigation of the body, first of all, if there is a topic that interests us, just like the brain or the skin or the teeth or the or the hairs, you know, hairs of the head or hair of the body, then we stick with this, yeah, and we do the same thing, you know, just like we do with the Buddha. We repeat the word, we mentally repeat the word skin, yeah, or hair, or whatever it is. Or if it is an inner organ, you know, then we repeat it until we start to see that object that we are repeating, yeah. So we have to be interested in the object that we repeat, you know, by repeating the word, you know, we want to get the picture of it, yeah. Once we get the picture of the object that we are interested in dissecting, and the picture seems to be stable, then we can start to dissect that. Yeah? And all our thoughts are going around the same object. Yeah? So when I do investigation of the body, what we can do at first, you know, if we don't have any interesting object, then we just make a tour. Then we start at the head and go to the feet, and whenever we meet an object that we'd like to, that interests us, then we stick with this object until our investigation is finished. We don't change the objects, yeah? And then, well, once we can see them, once we get a clear vision, but it takes, you know, for some people, you know, because they did it in their last life, I mean, it comes very clear, very fast, very clear, yeah? But for most of us, probably, I mean, it will take a long time until we see the picture, and it becomes clearer over time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it took me nearly 9 months of constant effort, you know, to get a clear picture of the inner organ. But once you get a clear picture of the inner organ, it can be very clear, or it can be just as clear so that you understand. Then you can start, you know, to investigate it. Yeah? You can dissect it, look what it is made of. Yeah? Yeah? And once you understand, or you can dissect it into the four elements, yeah, and see. Yeah? And the next time you take another object, and then you compare these two. You know, well, what is the difference, you know, between the heart and the lungs? Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing, yeah, and the hair, you know, and the hair and the teeth, you know, what is the difference? Yeah? It all comes from the same thing. Yeah? It all comes, you know, look, you know, where the nails are coming out, yeah? They're coming out of the skin, yeah? And then look at it, you know, I mean, so, yeah? So they're made out of the same components, you know, but some of them have more earth elements, so they are more more solid than the others, yeah? Do you think the question is answered?
I think so, but maybe you could sometimes talk about reflecting about the drawbacks of the body.
So about the what?
The drawbacks of the body.
Oh, yes, I mean, we think about, you know, when we are born, you know, we think about, you know, when we get old, you know, we think about, you know, when we get sick, you know, and we think about, you know, death, yeah? And we think about whatever comes into the body, you know, I mean, it's just nice and tastes nice, you know, and smells nice, you know, whatever comes off the body, you know, it's just loathsome. And then when we open up the body, you know, I mean, we sometimes faint, you know, or we want to throw up because we don't want to see the mess that is inside, yeah? And the drawback of the body is, you know, we have to take it wherever we go, we have to take it with us, yeah? I mean, think about, you know, going up a mountain, a steep mountain, you know, with 80 kilograms on your back, yeah? If you have nothing, you know, if you have 0 kilograms, you know, I mean, you just fly up, you know, the mountain, yeah? Oh, heavy, 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 yeah? Huh? Okay.
Because when he does that, His mind creates some questions. And
you shouldn't. The questions that you create are concerned only with the object itself, yeah? I mean, how is this object? What happens to this object when I dissect it? How does it look like? And when I put it over fire, you know, or when you look at the whole body, you know, what is happening at death? You ask the questions about this. When you look at the whole body, you ask the question, you know, what is happening at death? You know, I really want to see what goes out first. The air. Then what goes out next? You know, it's the water. And then what goes out, you know, what comes next? Yeah? Then the flesh disappears, you know, slowly disappears, you know, and at the end, you know, there are only the bones left. Yeah? You have to be, or you take one object, you know, and then you center your thoughts around this object. Yeah? And you want to understand what this object is. So the question should be according to that. I mean, if these questions that are created by the mind are around this object, then it's fine. But if they are in relation with this, you know, then it's not so fine. Yeah? You really want to understand the nature of this object that you investigate. Just like we want to understand the nature of pain. Yeah? What is it? What is pain? What is this object? What is hair? Yeah? Or what is nails? Yeah? I really want to understand it. Yeah? So your thoughts are centered around this one object. Yeah, what is nail? Where is it coming from? Yeah, where is it growing out? Yeah, why is it so? You know, the skin is soft. You know, and the nails is hard. You know, I mean, what makes it? You know, and yeah, dissect it. You know, and see. Yeah, it's the same with the hair. Yeah, and so on.
What causes one to come out of Apana Samadhi? Is it the same as Upachara Samadhi, i.e. arising thought or memory?
In Upachara Samadhi, normally only at the beginning, you know, thoughts and memory are still, you know, once in a while coming, yeah. But normally then not, yeah. So the deeper you go into Samadhi, yeah, I mean the deeper your Upachara Samadhi is, I mean there are no more thoughts, yeah, and there are no more memories coming up. So I mean you're really in a safe house, yeah. Apana Samadhi, once you enter Apana Samadhi, you will come out sooner than you want. And you will come out, yeah? I mean, there's nobody, unless somebody, you know, somebody decides that he doesn't want to come back to this world, you know, then he stays, you know, and dies, yeah? But the longest time that you can stay in Apana Samadhi is 7 days, yeah? I mean, there was one monk, you know, here in Thailand, you know, was he finished or was he anagami? I don't know, maybe he was an arahant, or I can't remember. Or he was an anagami. And all what he did, you know, he went into Apana Samadhi after 7 days, you know, he came out, ate something, drank something, and then went back into Apana Samadhi. Yeah, I mean, because he didn't want, yeah. Lungta Mahapo said, you shouldn't do that. Use the time that you have, you know, I mean, you attain so such a high level, you know, use the time, you know, wisely. So, I mean, he doesn't have to worry to come out of Apana Samadhi. I mean, he will come out. Yeah.
And what about coming out of Apana Samadhi safely?
You cannot come out safely, yeah. I mean, it is... Because you cannot, there is nothing, you know, the moment you come out, yeah, I mean, you know that you're coming out, yeah. Now, Upachara Samadhi, that is where you have to come out safely, yeah. But Apana Samadhi, some people, you know, go into Upachara Samadhi, then automatically into the next stage, or in the higher stage, or lower stage, you know, whatever you call it, yeah. And then go into Upachara Samadhi, from there you can come out slowly. But it is so amazing, you know. I mean, the moment you come out, it's so amazing. Yeah? So you just watch what is happening. Yeah? Because then, I mean, if you've been long enough in Apana Samadhi, when you come out, yeah, in the beginning you don't know who you are, where you are, what this is, yeah. And then you see, you know, how your thoughts and your memories are slowly coming back and creating that what you are. I mean, it's fascinating. Yeah? Then you see that is all an illusion. That is all a creation of our memories and thoughts. Yeah? what we are, who we are, where we are, and so on. Yeah? Before that, you know, in Apana Samadhi, none of this exists. Yeah? And when you come out, you see how the mind slowly, you know, you open your eyes and you really don't know, you know, what is going on. Yeah? And then you see your memories slowly. I mean, it's just like in a slow motion, very slow motion, you know. I mean, you see how everything is building up. Yeah? And then, once it built up, it seems so solid. You can't destroy it anymore. The only way, you know, to go back into Apana Samadhi. Sometimes it does happen when you go very deep into Upachara Samadhi, when really there's nothing left of the body, you know, except for the heart, you know, and when you come out, it's also very slow. It's slow motion, yeah? It's interesting, and there's so many interesting things that you can I mean, why do you hang up in your dreams and in your memories and your thoughts, you know? I mean, why? There's so many interesting things to see, yeah? Okay?
So, is it okay to observe the breath on the upper lip, or is it mandatory to observe it?
No, wherever you feel it, yeah? What? Anapanasati. I mean, it is mindfulness of breathing in, breathing out. And this, you know, for most of the people, it is around the tip of the nose, you know. I mean, if he feels it at the upper lips, you know, it is fine, yeah. But he should stay there, yeah? Not wandering, you know, not wandering around. Okay?
When we repeat something, investigation of the body, some organ, you are also thinking about it, or just repeat it like the Buddha?
You repeat it like the Buddha and try, but at the same time you try to picture.
To picture.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a picture, you know, of anatomy, you know, atlas, you know, where you've seen it before, then you try to get that picture, yeah? Or when you look at the other things, you know, I mean, like the hair of the body, then you can do 5 minutes stare at the hair of the body or stare at the nails, you know, and then take this picture, you know, and put it inside, yeah? And then look at this picture while you're repeating it. With the inner organs, it's more difficult because, I mean, we don't want to cut it off. It's bleeding too much. But then there we can use, you know, anatomic, what do you call it, atlas. So, okay.